Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our coaching staff has always believed in it's more about our team than our opponents. And that's with all due respect to the league. The league's very good. But we have to control what we can to dictate the terms and be the team that we think we're capable of becoming.
Mike Sullivan on tonight's matchup with Carolina. 93.7 The Fan time is 4:05, and it's brought to you by WeatherSeal Home Services. Just a dollar down can get you new siding. Jason Mackey in Carolina, our Penguins insider for tonight's game. Jason, is this a big game?
I don't know if it's a huge game. It's a big game because they're playing a team that they're competing with for a playoff spot. You can't call it a typical Penguins-Carolina game, I don't think, because where Carolina is at. But, you know, relatively speaking, this is a team that should be competing with the Capitals for the division, should be looking at making a playoff run, that they've put themselves in a position where...
But it's not a make-or-break game.
No, I don't think it's a make-or-break game, no.
Jason, do you believe at all that a team's performance right near the end of a season, if it's a playoff team, determines at all how they might come out in that first game of the first round?
I think it has something to do with it. I don't think it has everything to do with it. I do think that you can flip a switch. I think that's probably what we're getting at here. And I think this team is capable of doing it, but I think you better your chances by playing well down the stretch. Like, I look at what Tampa has, you know, that gigantic edge that they're going to have. Like, they're not going to play competitive hockey for a long time. And I don't think you should have to scratch and claw either. But the situation the Penguins find themselves in right now, you know, if they are able to use this to sort of sharpen themselves, then yes, I think there's some benefit to that.
What is the thing right now that your readers, the Penguins fans who engage you in conversation or at least try to, what is the thing that seems to be on their mind most right now, Jason?
Who comes out of the lineup when everybody gets healthy and it's not close? That is a huge topic of conversation.
And what are they saying? And what do you think of it?
Well, I mean, I think it's crazy to ask it because every time it gets asked, somebody gets hurt, and they're never all healthy. Like, maybe I'm a pessimist. I have a tough time seeing a scenario where literally every player at the Penguins' disposal is healthy and they need to choose from them. Stuff happens. You know, Evgeny Malkin's going to come back at some point. Olimata's going to come back at some point.
So what are you getting at? People are nervous that Bluger's going to come out of the lineup or that Goodbranson's going to come out. Like, what are the fans fretting about?
Well, they're not fretting about anything. Here's what people want to know. They want to know what defenseman's going to come out of the lineup when everybody gets healthy.
And who do you think?
They want to know, is it going to be Eric Goodbranson? Is it going to be Marcus Pettersson? Is it going to be, is Olimata going to be a healthy scratch? That's a new popular line of thinking. I don't think the Penguins know. And I don't think they need to know because stuff can happen. And, yes, if everybody is back and healthy, it's probably going to be Eric Goodbranson who's out of the lineup. But, again, you cross that bridge when you come to it. That's just it feels like a waste of time to just concoct hypothetical scenarios on what's going to happen if then inevitably somebody gets hurt.
Who do they need more to make a deep playoff run if you could only have one of the following two healthy, Letang or Malkin?
Malkin. I actually think their defense, I mean, it's certainly not ideal, but they've been winning games. They've been okay with them. They've done without Letang before. I'm not saying that by any, you know, to try to explain anything away or lessen Letang's impact. It's just fact. They've won games without him, and they've won a cup without him. So I'm saying Malkin.
Jason Mackey, our Penguins insider, so that makes it 3-for-3 because we said the same thing earlier in the show. So either great minds think alike or we're all morons.
I know most of our listeners
would say. You just got lumped in with us, Jason, which is not maybe the best thing in the world for you. Here's a question off of Sunday night's game. Why was Sullivan so, like, I don't know, taken aback or ticked off at your question about the way they've kind of given up some games late this year? What was the deal with that? What's your take on it?
I was wondering the same thing. Like, I didn't think it was a question that was out of bounds. They've given away points. They've given away games.
His own GM said it.
Yeah, and we hear these guys talk all the time about how you have to like build up to that and you know have confidence winning games in the third period and especially not losing them in the third period, and they've done that. They've had third periods that aren't great. The only thing I can come up with is maybe that he is peeved by it, and that's, you know, doesn't want to answer the question and just wants to take the opposite tack. But I came away thinking that same thing, that it wasn't an off-base question. It's something they've done recently. Maybe you don't have an answer to it, but please don't tell me you think this team's been playing fine in the third period that has not.
Jason, do you think that there's any chance that Sullivan, because this is my opinion, but I've seen a lot of people echo it, because it was Crosby, especially on the second goal, but also certainly him and the rest of the forwards on the tying goal in that game, because it was Crosby at the epicenter of all of it, and he knows how good he's been for him all year, that Sullivan didn't want to maybe go down that particular road after that particular outcome?
I don't know. Here's what I think from being around Sullivan every single day. He will never, ever criticize a player individually, and there are some exceptions. Like if Malkin takes a stupid penalty in the third period, like he's not going to overlook that. You know, Phil Kessel falls down and gives up one the other way. He's not going to overlook that. But stuff where guys are, like, you know, trying hard, and I don't think anybody can question Crosby's effort, but him singling out a player for a stupid mistake, an effort mistake, a you know, get-your-head-in-the-game mistake, it is exceedingly rare. And so, yeah, I don't think he wanted to go down that road with Crosby, but I don't think it's because he loves Crosby so much. I just think that's kind of not his style to put it all on one guy like that.
Which loss should the Penguins be more bothered by from this weekend, St. Louis Saturday or Philly on Sunday?
I actually think Philly is the worst crime. I don't know what you guys think about that one, but losing the lead late against a division team, like you come out flat in an afternoon game against the Western Conference team after you've been playing well. I mean, so what? You come back the next night, you win it, you make up for it. There's 82 games in a season. Like, fans have a tough time believing that, but I feel like coming back after that putrid performance Saturday and not blowing Philly's doors off, that's the problem to me. I mean, you let them hang around. I don't care how good Carter Hart was. I mean, you were a better team than him and them, and there's no reason that should have even been a game based on, you know, circumstance, how they played the previous day, how they should have played on Sunday. I thought that one was worse. What do you guys say?
I agree.
I think it was worse because they still hate the Flyers. They had a chance to put a nail in the coffin for their chances completely and be the team that functionally put them out of the playoffs. And then I guess what I didn't like the most about it is you're playing a desperate opponent. It's a playoff game essentially for them. You've managed to play well enough with your goalie, I think, playing really well to get yourselves a 1-0 lead. And then not only the tying and then the winning goals, they have a horrible butcher job, too many men on the ice penalty with about 6 minutes left. It felt like an unfocused third period when they had a chance to nail down a hated rival. I didn't like what that – I know you said they can flip a switch. I didn't like what that represented.
Yeah, no, I hear you and I agree with that. And, you know, we can't look at that third period and say the Penguins had the puck the whole time. They didn't. The Flyers had it a lot. And it wasn't like – you know, it was just one bad bounce. I mean, there was a lot that led up to that that was not good. And third period against the Flyers in that situation, you just can't take that loss.
Jason Mackey, our Penguins insider. Do you think Chris Letang plays tonight?
I do. Yeah, I think he's back.
And when do you think Malkin comes back?
Probably after the road trip. I mean, I know that he's perfectly capable of, like, meeting the club in Nashville or Dallas or anything like that. But I don't think that we're in that sort of scenario. I mean, I think we're looking at, you know, at least a week plus, you know, maybe 2 weeks, maybe more than that. I don't think it's a scenario where he's back on this road trip, but, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks. I'm kind of guessing here, but, I mean, it'll be longer than, like, two games.
Jason, what fixes their power play?
Shooting the puck and keeping it, and probably reverse those. Their entries have been really, really bad. And sometimes they've been too complex for their own good. This power play is done well when it just shoots the puck in and goes to work. Forecheck, dig it back. You know, Patrick Hornquist is a key element of that. And once they have it, once they do get set up, don't be too cute. You know, Justin Schultz has found success when he just puts it on the net. He's a nice change of pace from Chris Letang sometimes where they, you know, de-fancy things and just put it on the net. This power play can be its own worst enemy sometimes, that they can score some really pretty goals, but it's not that bad. And the other thing is maybe a perception thing, and it's not fixing the power play necessarily. I wrote about this today, that their percentage is actually pretty good. I mean, they're up over 25%, and they've been scoring some recently. It's just they have these prolonged dry spells, and, you know, they're in one now that's not really prolonged, but I don't, you know, just a couple games where it's been crap, and they need to not let it sort of persist.
Where do you think we would need to go with this losing streak before we got to big game territory? Like, if they lose tonight and then go to Nashville, I don't think people are going to hit the panic button yet, but, like, how many more games would we need to go, Jason, in your opinion, before people started to sweat here?
I think probably, you know, if they lose tonight and go to Nashville, maybe lose that one. You know, I think they've got one gimme game left.
So they go to Dallas on a four-game losing streak, then you think everybody's on high alert.
Yeah, and okay. I think the reason for that is right now they're squarely in a playoff position. Even if they lose tonight, technically they would still be in a playoff position. And then you start, you know, after that, you're going to, Carolina has two games in hand, I believe, on them if they win, if other teams keep winning. If you end up tumbling to that cut line where we were a couple weeks ago, where, you know, you wake up, you're out of the playoffs, that's where they're going to be if they lose these two games or you know, even lose one and some other teams win. So I think that's what's sort of keeping people from panic territory, and as well as logic. I mean, this team has played better recently. People shouldn't be freaking out. But, you know, if you lose two more and some stuff happens, that's when I think the alarm bell should go off.
All right. I'm good here. You, Chris?
I am good. I've checked all of my boxes on my pre-interview checklist.
Does Jason Mackey like sauerkraut?
It's okay. I don't dislike it. Sauerkraut. Where'd that come from?
Does Jason Mackey like Hall & Oates?
No, absolutely not.
No, why not? What is
Those
it about?
Those are two questions I never thought you'd be asking.
But why no on Hall & Oates? We ran a poll. Does Pittsburgh like Hall & Oates? Like 73% of people emphatically, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude,
73% of people need their heads examined. I would rather go to the dentist than listen to Hall & Oates.
Well, you'd probably hear Hall & Oates at most dentists.
That's sort of what I think about, dentists and elevators.
Oh, man.
Does Jason Mackey fill out a bracket?
Not yet, but I will. Okay. My wife and I always do if I don't enter any other contest, although I would not mind entering a contest, my wife and I will always do one against each other and bet something on it. I got to come up with the bet for my wife.
More interest down there in tonight's Penguins-Hurricanes game or the NC State-NIT game right next door?
I bet it's NC State, honestly.
Wow.
It's sad. It's sad down here how little people are interested in hockey.
Well, the team's a bunch of jerks. Why would they be interested?
I agree.
Steve Martin's the official mascot.
It's a good team, man. This is an exciting team. I love.
Oh, yeah. You know, they really just take your breath away. You're
well.
Justin Falks and Dougie Hamilton.
They take your breath away.
The NIT?
I can't wait to tell my kids about these Carolina Hurricanes teams. So,
well, I'll tell them for you, Andrew.
All right, Jason. See ya.
All right, guys. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.